welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, January 26, 2015. A deadly ambush in western Bahr al-Ghazal leaves 11 people dead.
Very heavy ambush, very heavy ambush. Even we were not expecting to survive and to get out.
And a senior government official joins the rebels loyal to Riek Machar.
If you are in the government and then you see this government is a useless government, man, what will you do? You must go out and then you fight for liberating your own people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The government of Western Bahr al-Ghazal state has declared 3 days of mourning after 11 people were killed when their convoy was attacked yesterday on the road linking Raja to Sopor. Several journalists are reported to be among the dead. Raja County Commissioner Maradom James was wounded in the attack. VOA fellow Michael Atit reports that an eyewitness to the attack says it is a miracle anyone survived.
Justin Abo Saleh is the private secretary of the Raja County Commissioner. Saleh was riding in the same car as James when the two vehicles' convoy came under.
Very heavy ambush, very heavy ambush. Even we were not expecting to survive and to get out. At the end of the day, the car was in front of us, who were carrying the journalists. We were five journalists. Suddenly, the car just stopped. And we talked to our driver that he should not stop. And already these people started firing on us with so many guns. Even this Kalashnikov and PKM, we heard the sound of the PKM also.
Saleh says the two vehicles came under a hail of bullets from both sides of the road. He says it was impossible to positively identify the attackers.
We told the community, the driver not to stop, and we were crying that, the driver, don't stop. If you stop, these people will kill us. They will kill all of us. Then the driver also was courageous enough, and started to just rain with us. He rained with us, and also the bullet was over. Then we ran and we left them.
Saleh says the assailants riddled the victims' bodies with bullets and then set them on fire.
They were shot the guns and cut it into pieces. We were burned to this. Very, very bad, very bad view. If you see, it is very bad, really. Even it's best time for me to see such things like this.
Yasir Mohammed Biajo is the medical director of Raja Civil Hospital. He says 11 bodies were brought to the hospital.
We received around 11 spot dead, around 7 male and 1 female. And the rest are unknown. Due to the ban, the effect of the ban, because all the dead body was burned. We received also 4 people injured people with minor injuries, and all the 4 infected people were safe and stable right now. Among them is the county commissioner.
In a speech outside the state house, Western Bahr al-Ghazal Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan called for flags to be flown at a half staff around the state. He says there will be 3 days of mourning for the victims of attack, but the state government will not stop working. He expressed his condolence to the families of the dead. No one has claimed responsibility for the attack. Maradoma James was appointed commissioner of Raja County early this month by Rizik. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Washington.
President Kiir was speaking today at SPLM conference. He says government soldiers continue to be attacked in Upper Nile State, including an attack which occurred yesterday.
Since we signed the cessation of hostilities in January 2014, we recommitted ourselves to that cessation of hostilities again in May 2014 and again in August, and we came down with a recommitment to cessation of hostilities. I said all these things have never been respected by Riek Machar.
The president wants that any attack on government forces will be met with strong defense.
And will break out for offensive against Riek Machar forces.
President Kiir was speaking to SPLM officials before he travels to Ethiopia to attend the IGAD Heads of States meeting this week. He says he had a telephone conversation with his Kenyan counterpart Uhuru Kenyatta today and informed him that the rebel attacks must end now. Meanwhile, the former director of South Sudan's radio and television says he has joined the rebels of the SPLM in opposition. Khamis Abdul Latif says he defected to Riek Machar's rebels because of what he calls corrupt systems surrounding the Kiir administration in Juba.
My country is in chaos, is in troubles, because the type of the government who is ruling is not a government. And I join Dr. Riek Machar because he's fighting for the future of the Republic of Southern Sudan. That's why I join him.
But before, you were in the government of President Kiir, and you served as a security advisor, and then later you also became the director of radio and TV in South Sudan. Now you are saying this government is not good. Why were you in it in the first place?
This question, as you know, the people who are struggling now, all of them, they were in the government. That is not a problem. If you are in the government and then you see this government is a useless government, man, what will you do? You must go out and then you fight for liberating your own people.
In your statement that you made in Nairobi on Friday, you were saying that you are joining the rebels of the SPLM in opposition under the leadership of Riek Machar because, according to you, they have the best option for the country. What option is this that you're talking to me that about is the best option?
Yes. First of all, Dr. Riek Machar is a democratic man. He's a man who is fighting for the unity of Southern Sudan, Republic of Southern Sudan. He's working for the good governance. He wants to get Southern Sudan is established very well. And he wants freedom. He wants a lot of things. So that's why I join him. He's better than Salva Kiir Mayardit. He's educated very well. He's also have a program. He's not a corruptist. He's not a tribalist. So that is why I join him.
You also said in your statement that the policies of President Kiir are contrary to the aspirations of the people of South Sudan. Could you explain that more?
Salva Kiir is working for his own people. He's looting property and money of the Republic of South Sudan for himself and his relatives. He's not working for the unity of Southern Sudan. He's killing Southerners. His own relatives are the people who are killing people now in Southern Sudan, in the Republic of South Sudan. So Salva Kiir is a problem. Needs all the Southerners to unite and take him out from this power.
Mr. Abdul Latif, there are other people in Juba who are listening to this interview. They might say you are talking like this because you lost your position as the director of radio and TV, and hence you are annoyed. That's why you joined the SPLM in opposition. What do you have to tell them?
No, I didn't lose my position. I have been transferred. I'm not being released from the position. I come out as a director general. I'm transferred to the Ministry of Information, headquarters. But I didn't lose my position.
In your paper that you presented to journalists in Nairobi about your defection, you were saying that President Kiir, and I'm quoting your words, that President Kiir is racist and tribalist and that he is only employing people from his state, that is Warab state. Do you have evidence to show about these strong accusations that you're making?
Yeah, the names are there. The names are there. Salva Kiir is from Warab, Dording from Warab, Nial from Warab, Chief Justice General from Warab, Director General of Internal Security from Warab, Director of Passport and Immigration from Warab, Under Secretary of Minister of Finance from Warab, Head of the Security Committee in the National Legislative Assembly from Warab, Head of the Security in Council of States from Warab. I can count 50 persons. So all the positions are people who are Warab.
These people could be there because they are qualified to be there.
can your own relatives to be qualified in the country to take 50 positions, including the directors of the universities and all this everything? These are right. You are not saying right.
Now, what is your next move now that you've joined the SPLM in opposition? What are your plans?
I'm going to fight.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I'm going to fight. I'm going to liberate my area.
How would you do that from Nairobi?
I'm now in my way to Lakes.
That's Khamis Abdul Latif, former director of South Sudan Radio and Television. Abdul Latif was appointed as director of radio and television by President Kiir. Abdul Latif only spent 2 weeks in the office and was fired by a ministerial order from Information Minister Michael Makuei in November last year. Abdul Latif was speaking to me earlier today from Nairobi, where he declared his support for Riek Machar.
This is a public service announcement from VOA Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama addressing the Ebola crisis.
Ebola is actually a difficult disease to catch. It's not transmitted through the air like the flu. You cannot get it from just riding on a plane or a bus. The only way that a person can contract the disease is by coming into direct contact with the bodily fluids of somebody who is already showing symptoms. We know how to fight this disease. We know the protocols. And we know that when they're followed, they work. And if we take the steps that are necessary, if we're guided by the science, the facts, not fear, then I'm absolutely confident that we can prevent a serious outbreak here in the United States, and we can continue to lead the world in this urgent effort.
This was a public service announcement from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, women protest in Bor Town. Find out why when we come back after this break.
South Sudan in Focus listeners can find us on the following shortwave frequencies: 11900, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the most important value to teach to children?
One of the most important values to teach to children is discipline, because everything you do in life revolves around it.
Is to make them believe in themselves. If you are believing yourself, you believe that you can do anything. You can do everything you want. You can be whoever you want to be in the future because you think you can do it.
I think the most important one is respect, because I know and believe that respect can help the children in future as they are growing up.
We raise up a child in a good way whereby he can respect the elder and respect even the age mate.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Police in the Jonglei state capital Bor have detained 5 women in connection with a recent public protest. Last week, hundreds of women held a peaceful demonstration calling for the resignation of acting governor John Kong Nyon. The protesters, who were mostly women, accused the governor of favoring his ethnic group, the Nuer. But the state information minister, Judy Jonglei Boyoris, denies any official government involvement in the women's arrest. From Bor, Jacob Achek filed this report.
Last Tuesday, hundreds of women marched peacefully on the town streets and delivered a letter to the deputy governor, Baba Medan. 2 days later, security officials arrested 5 women accused of leading the demonstration. Speaking at the police station in Bor, Dorcas Ayuen, one of the protest leaders, said they were angered by Governor Kong's recent decision. Ayuen alleged his action favored Kong Nuer community, and she criticized the police for detaining peaceful protesters.
Those who jail us, they are the ones who will tell us why they jail us. Is it because of a strike? Yes, we make a strike because of ABCD. We have not killed anybody. We have not destroyed anything. We went peacefully, and then we submit our paper to deputy governor.
However, Information Minister Judy Jonglei Boyeris denied the state official ordered any arrest. He said the state government will investigate the matter.
Security, maybe they have done that. It is not us. I cannot report something from security. I cannot confirm because we haven't been told that there were some people being arrested.
Boyeris declined to say it exactly when the state government intended to launch the investigation into the arrest. Ayuan said the woman demonstrated to protest a decision by acting Governor Kong to form a payment committee tasked with verifying civil servant salaries. She alleged this committee is unfair, targeting civil servants from the Dinga community. To prove her allegations, Ayuan says civil servants who are absent from their work station in Bor and Twich East counties are not being paid their salaries, whereas civil servants in rebel-held counties of Jonglei State are getting paid, even though they too are not showing up to works.
We don't want a governor. Number one, he make the committee led by the ministers. Committee, he have been created for the greater Bor. And there is no committee in Akobo, in Uror, in Ayut, in everywhere where there is a Nuer community.
The woman also accused Kong of appointing member of his Nuer ethnic group as directors of most of the state ministries. South Sudan in Focus was unable to reach Governor Kong for comment, despite numerous attempts by phone. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
Philip Tonaleu contributed to this report. The Anglican Archbishop of South Sudan and Sudan says the increasing insecurity in Lake State is the result of unregulated firearms in the hands of civilians. Speaking to reporters last week, Archbishop Daniel Deng Bol says villagers in Lake State believe they must protect themselves since the government isn't doing that for them. Philip Thonaleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
After 14 days of moving from one village to another and visiting numerous cattle camps, along the way, where he preached a message of peace, love, and understanding while denouncing a culture of revenge, Archbishop Daniel Deng says the journey was well worth it.
I think there were no fighting when we were there. What we heard was the fighting in northern Lake State, but that fighting was not among themselves. It is a fighting which came from another state, so it was not they themselves. Since we went there up to now, there's no fighting.
Deng led a group of 110 preachers, including 15 bishops, from various churches across South Sudan. He says while they were preaching tranquility and peace, that does not mean peace has been restored to Lake State villages.
The dilemma they have is that they don't have the alternative. That's why they are carrying guns. They said long ago the government used to protect their cattle. Long ago the government used to protect them. But at the moment, they find themselves alone when their cattle are taken, or when the thieves comes and take their cattle away from them. Nobody pursue the criminal.
Deng says during the tour, the youth and communities are outlying grievances, including underdevelopment and lack of justice for victims of crimes.
There are criminals among them. When they are caught and they are taken to the prison, sometimes they go there and they come out, and then you find them that they are at large. So that is has puzzled them, and that is one of the grievances. And that is what they're saying, this is what kept the revenge. Because when you see somebody who has done or killed somebody from your side, and you see him outside tomorrow, that has made them to some of them to take law into their hands.
Deng says he has acknowledged the demands he had during the tour, and will develop recommendations based on the feedback which he will provide to government officials. Deng says the government should not focus on disarmament without first winning the trust of the people.
These people need people to talk to them. So after we were talking to them, they said nobody has come and explained to them as we did explain to them. So I think they need a constant visit from the church, from the government, from the politician, so that they understand the importance of a gun not to be used against themselves.
Deng says the church, which relies on donations from followers, will return to legislate in February as part of efforts to engage the youth and cement their relations with the church. The Anglican bishop was appointed by President Salva Kiir in April 2014 to head National Committee for Peace and Reconciliation following the outbreak of violence in December 2013. Deng went to legislate in his capacity as the leader of the largest Christian church in the country. Legislate has been marred by intercommunal fighting. In December 2014, more than 50 people were killed in Umbeg East County. A fight involving two young men from rival communities is enough to trigger large-scale revenge raids, which authorities say are aggravated by large numbers of firearms in the hands of civilians. Efforts by the police and army to disarm the youth have not stopped the violence. For BOA News, I am Philip Thorn Aleu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The Nigerian military reported fresh fighting with Boko Haram insurgents today, a day after the group seized an army barracks in northeastern Borno state and attacked the state capital, Maiduguri. Defense spokesman General Chris Alukalade tells VOA that an operation involving air and land assets is underway to retake the barracks in Manguno, about 180 kilometers northwest of Maiduguri. Also, the army said on Twitter that troops battled militants Sunday night and early today in Kanduga, a town about 25 kilometers southeast of Maiduguri. It said ground troops are in charge of the area and substantial amounts of heavy weapons have been captured. It said that both sides suffered casualties. Reuters news agency reported that a local journalist counted more than 100 bodies of people killed in yesterday's fighting at a morgue in Maiduguri. An Egyptian court has convicted a doctor of manslaughter in the death of a 13-year-old girl following a botched female genital mutilation procedure. Raslan Fadl was sentenced to 2 years, 3 months in prison today after a judge overturned his original acquittal on an appeal. The court also ordered the doctor to close his clinic for 1 year. Soher El Bateya died in 2013, the victim of a widespread practice performed on more than 90% of girls and women in Egypt. Lawyer Reda Dambouki, who represented the deceased, called the verdict a triumph for women. And finally, a monitoring group reports Kurdish forces have regained control of the Syrian border city of Kobani, pushing back Islamic State militants after a four-month battle. The Britain-based Syrian Human Rights Observatory said the Kurdish fighters, backed by U.S.-led airstrikes, have nearly expelled the group from the area along the Turkish border. Today, a flag of the Kurdish militia, known as the People's Protection Units, or YPG, was raised on the hill in Kobani, where the Islamic State militant group's flag used to be. Street-by-street warfare has nearly emptied Kobani of civilians since Islamic State rebels began an offensive in September. The U.S. military focused coalition airstrikes in Syria on Kobani from yesterday into today. 17 strikes targeted IS tactical units and fighting positions in the city. Already nearly 4 years into a civil war, Syria faces a second internal conflict as the Islamic State group gained territory in the north and east of the country in the last year. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And now we go to Warab. The UN mission in South Sudan is helping to repair roads in Warab to help facilitate movements of communities within Warab State and its neighboring counties. For VOA News, Monut Santo has this story from Warab.
Speaking at the project launch on the outskirts of Kajok last week, Acting Governor Akintong Aleu commended UNAMIS authorities for the road rehabilitation initiative. He said rebuilding the road network has been a priority in state government programs, but has been neglected due to the economic and political crisis facing the country.
This road is going to help us for so many things. It's going to help the population who are behind us, going to help the security issues along the road. So the road is very important to us. It's a security road, and today is going to be maintained, and I hope that not only that road, but the other road.
Isaac Lafia is Waraba State Acting Coordinator for Enemies. He says having access to good roads to move people and goods across the state is essential, and the Enemies project is geared towards achieving that goal.
We in Enemies are helping to make sure that people are able to move their goods to the north of the state, and the north of the state will be able to get what is necessary to make them live as human beings.
Isaac Ling, the repair of the road to the fate of internally displaced people based in Tweed County, many of whom need humanitarian assistance. He says more than 6,000 internally displaced persons from Unity and Afanaira states are residing in 6 different camps in Tweed County.
Movement of even their humanitarian assistance has to happen at all times without delay. So UNMISS is helping to make this road so that we'll be able to move goods, we'll be able to move humanitarian support, and we'll be able to help in whichever way.
According to UNMISS officials, the repair will be carried out with UNMISS equipment by UNMISS engineers. Because of that, he says the cost to Waraba state government has not been calculated.
This work has 2 phases. First, they are going to look at all the challenging areas, and then after that, they will now start doing a more constructive work in terms of putting culverts and maram on some parts of the road that are challenging.
Tweed County was nearly cut off from the state capital, Kwajuk, in December last year after floodwaters destroyed part of the road. Similarly, Lietnam, the headquarters of Gogelis County, and Tong East County headquarters in Romich had also become inaccessible during the rainy season. For VOA News, I am Santino Manut Ayuel in Kwajuk.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Tong Tong by Sweet J from Western Equatoria State. We have been listening to Sweet J with the song Tong Tong. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.